Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Discovery Plus is a new streaming service. It's going to have some big brands like Food Network, Discovery Channel, and then exclusive stuff too, originals, all coming in 2021, U.S. only. Plaxico Burress on the phone. He'll be just a second. He's ready to go? Plaxico tells a funny story. So when he was with the Giants, they went and played Green Bay, and it was so cold. And he put Vaseline all over his body because it was so cold. He tells that story. And I always remember that game because it was he and Eli, and that was the Giants' Super Bowl year, and they went to Green Bay, and you could not guard Plaxico Burress. Couldn't guard him. And it's funny. Now you have all these big receivers, like DK Metcalf. There's a lot more big receivers. But at the time, Plaxico was a very unique body type. He could run, but it was physically, he was, 6'5". You couldn't match up with him. And that's now everybody wants that. Everybody's trying to get that. And Plaxico Burress is joining the Super Bowl champ. Giants beat those unbeaten Patriots. It is interesting. We talk about this all the time. The Pittsburgh Steelers, more than any organization in the history of the league, does wide receivers well. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they get them from the Pac-12, the Big 12. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Why? So tell me the culture. Why do you? No team drafts a position better than the Steelers and wide receiver. Why? Did they do homework on you that nobody else did, or what?
They get in the lab and they do their homework and they have a great scouting department. So when I was drafted in 2000, Kevin Colbert, that was his first year as a general manager for the Steelers.
Yeah.
And I was Kevin Colbert's first pick ever in 2000, in his first year as being a general manager. Since 2000, Kevin Colbert and the Pittsburgh Steelers have drafted a receiver every single year for 20 seasons. So he is going to draft a wide receiver every single year. And you sit back and you look at the, how these guys have been playing over the years, Antonio Brown, and Mike Wallace, and Emmanuel Sanders. And you look at Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
And you just look at all these guys that he's drafted who have had the phenomenal talents. But he goes and finds them in the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth round. And they put these guys on the field, and they just continue to go out and perform at a high level week in and week out. It's just amazing that they can, the scouting department goes out and finds these guys. And they just come out and play well.
Yeah. It's interesting. You're a former New York Giant. You won your Super Bowl there. And they, Coughlin, Tom, he loved you. And then they went through Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur, and it didn't work. And I didn't love Joe Judge as a hire because my takeaway was, first of all, Belichick's guys don't work a lot. And secondly, he'd never been a coordinator. Tell me, what are you hearing from your sources and your friends with the New York Giants? Because I watched the Giants, Plax, in the last 6 or 7 weeks, they get better every week with Joe Judge. Every week I watch them, they're a better football team. What is he doing that people like?
I think that, everybody's kind of buying into the system. They got out to a rough start, 0-4, 0-5, or whatever the record was in the beginning of the season. And now you start seeing these guys begin to gel. But you have to remember that none of these guys had a training camp. So, their first evaluation of guys, was basically during the season, week one and week two. So right now going into the rest of the season, if you look up, the Giants have a great defense. And I think that's one of the things that's kind of keeping them in these games. And they've been able to win, two or three games in a row, which they are calling a winning streak around here. So, they'll take it. But I think everybody's buying into Joe Judge. It was kind of – everybody was around here a little skeptical at the beginning of this year. But I think that you're going to continue to see those guys get better and better as the season goes on.
So Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, there's a lot of talk that it's not working as well, as everybody hoped. What's interesting is you have a relationship with Bruce Arians. First of all, you were a coaching intern with him for a while. He was also – I think he was with Pittsburgh, and he was one of your – I think, if I recall, he was one of your coaches there.
Where, yes.
Yeah, so You tell me, what did you like about Arians? And maybe what do you look at and think, oh, that may not work with Brady?
I love B.A. Bruce was my wide receiver coach in Pittsburgh for 2 years. And I remember sitting down in the locker room going into my fourth season, and I had never met him before. And I was just finishing up a workout in the offseason, and he came down and touched me on the shoulder. And he said, hey, I'm Bruce Arians. I want you to come upstairs and watch some film with me. And it was the first time that a coach had really sat me down from a personal standpoint and made me look at film and teach me coverages. You know, he taught me the ins and outs of defenses, what they were giving me, what they were taking away, getting out of my breaks and different things like that and recognizing coverages. I think those are the things that he taught me helped my game flourish because, you know, I was seeing the defense before it happened. And I'm forever grateful for that because he's a great coach. He's a great mind. But as far as the relationship between him and Tom Brady, look, B.A. wants the best out of his players. That's just how he is. But at the same time, he knows that Tom has been around long enough that he can take the public criticism. B.A. wouldn't be, criticizing a guy that is, you know, second, third-year quarterback because, you know, maybe his skin is not thick enough to take the criticism. But he knows that Tom can take it. And you know, trust me, all the public scrutiny between, you know, Bruce and Brady is all smoke and mirrors. Those guys sit down, you know, after practice and they hash it out and they just get back to work.
So Carson Wentz is a kid that I like a lot, big, strong. I think he's really talented. But, you know, They draft Jalen Hurts behind him, the Nick Foles story. He keeps hearing about how good his backups are. Go back to your career.
Right.
Was there ever a quarterback that you played with? Because a lot of people are saying, listen, Carson's just lost confidence. It's not talent. He's got talent. Was there ever a quarterback, even in college, that you played with that had the talent, but stuff got in his head and it affected the way he played?
Oh, man, you kind of put me on the spot here, man. What, you want me to just bash my guys that I played with? I mean, come on, man. I mean, you know what? I really haven't had a chance to really watch Carson Wentz play this season. I've seen highlights and different things like that, but it just doesn't look like to me that he's seeing coverages very well right now. You know, he's making bad decisions, throwing in the coverage and different things like that. But, you know, for him, losing your confidence as a player, you can't play if you don't have confidence, especially at that position. Everybody's looking at you to be the leader of the football team. He's the franchise quarterback of that organization. So if the Philadelphia Eagles want to get better and play better, Carson Wentz has to play better. And right now he's just not getting it done. I can hear the birds chirping all the way down here in New Jersey from Philadelphia. They're riding them pretty good right now. So I hope from a personal standpoint that he goes out and plays better.
So, I love me some Sam Darnold, but he's had a bad year, and it's kind of a mess, and my guess is the Jets are going to draft Trevor Lawrence, who's a remarkable prospect. In New York, he can sell tickets. He's a big superstar in college. My guess is they draft him. You know, New York, you got to sell some tickets, and Darnold is struggling. Your gut feeling on, is Sam Darnold just a bust, or can he play? What do you see with Darnold?
I think Sam Darnold can play. I think a couple issues there is that, you know, he doesn't really have the playmakers that a lot of these great quarterbacks have, you know, playing right now in the NFL. And, you know, he has to play better also. But I think you have to put him around some guys that, you know, so you can see his talent flourish. And flat out, the New York Jets are just terrible right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way around it. Defense isn't playing well. They can't stop anybody. I mean, I've never been in a situation when I'm 0-11, 0-12, but it has to be tough to walk into the building and be confident and go out each week and perform and try to win football games when everybody's confidence is down. They're like, oh, you know, we're not a very good football team. They're trying to win a game, and it just hasn't happened. As far as Trevor Lawrence going there, I don't want to see this young man confidence get destroyed coming to New York because it's a tough talent to play in. You have to have thick skin to play in this market. He's a phenomenal talent, but the same problem is going to remain. If you don't put these quarterbacks around guys that can make plays, this is what you're going to get, continue to get week in and week out. And you have to be able to stop people on defense. They haven't been able to do any of that. So that is why they're on forever. And, you know, kudos to, you know, to Trevor Lawrence. If he comes to New York, hopefully they put some guys around him. But I don't really think he's the answer. I think they have to make some changes in the organization, you know, in the front office, general manager, maybe head coach. But they already said Adam Gase will probably be back for the following year. So who knows? But they just got to get some football players.
Yeah. Plax and LeVar Arrington and TJ Hushmanzada are debuting Fox Sports Radio tomorrow, 1 to 3 Eastern in the afternoon. It's called Up on Game. Plax, it's great seeing you again. Continued success. Loved having you on the show.
All right, thanks, Colin. Good to see you. Go Sparty.
Go Sparty. There you go. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Rams will travel to Arizona to take on the Cardinals for the first time this season. They found success against them in 2019, winning both games, sacking rookie Kyler Murray 7 times. This season, Kyler and the Cardinals are playing much better, but Aaron Donald is confident the Rams have a good game plan for him.
We know what to do because we played a lot of, you know, mobile quarterbacks. We got two of them. We got him and we got Russell Wilson in our division, so you know, we kind of know how to handle it. He's playing better football than he was last year. So, and he got some good guys around him that's helping him as well. So, you know, we got our hands full, but, you know, we prepared for the challenge and we ready.
Rams match up very well with Arizona because they can put Jalen Ramsey on DeAndre Hopkins and they get a great pass rush. So the Rams defense, and they've really done it in like 1 year, it's like, it's formidable. I think this is a tough matchup for Arizona.
You have this in your Blazing five.
I like the Rams. My one favorite, Rams minus covering. 3. I think they win by a touchdown. And by the way, McVay and the Rams, this system has given Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals trouble for 3 straight years.
I think that the Cardinals are one more year away.
Yes, I think so too.
They have lost 2 in a row since the Hail Murray game.
And he's hurt. Kyler Murray's hurt.
They're 6-5, and they need to stay ahead of teams like the Vikings and the 49ers. Which are at 5-6, that are all jockeying for that 7 seed. But, yeah, I don't like the way that the Cardinals have been playing the last few weeks. I agree with you. I don't think this is a good matchup for them. And I think everyone kind of overreacts week to week with the Rams because the Rams are a very inconsistent, very good team.
Offensively, they can get turnover prone really quickly.
Yes, like there's people talking about benching Jared Goff. So, like, people really overreact to the Rams.
Yeah.
And then they come out and have a great performance, and all of a sudden they're back in the Super Bowl conversation. I don't think that they are a Super Bowl team, but they are still a very good team, and they are a step ahead of the Cardinals. I would take the Rams in this game as well. So, 3 of the league's best running backs will be on display when the Titans take on the Browns on Sunday. Very interested in this game. Derrick Henry has proven to be the key to the Titans' offense, and he'll get to watch two very talented backs on Cleveland's side of the ball. And Henry praised Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt's talent, saying they're one of the best duos in the game, if not the best. Those guys are ballers. I like this game because I think these two teams are very similar in that obviously both of their offenses run through their running game.
Yeah.
I would kind of give the edge to Cleveland's defense, but then I would give the edge to the Titans quarterback and Ryan Tannehill over Baker Mayfield.
Now, Myles Garrett does return, and they're a little banged up on the Titans O-line, which is one of the reasons I think Baker will face less distress than Tannehill. So I think Baker, and I think Tannehill's better, but I think it'll be, you know, when Baker's comfortable with a run game, throws 23 times, this team's 8-0.
Their running games are both great and evenly matched. Like, Derrick Henry obviously is the one guy, and they have Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, but they're both neck and neck. I mean, Kareem Hunt has 706 rushing yards this year. Nick Chubb has 719, and Derrick Henry's in position to earn his second consecutive rushing title, leading the league with 1,257 yards. So that's the equalizer right there. So it's going to be one of those other factors that you mentioned. But, again, like, I trust the Titans more just because of Ryan Tannehill, but I'm really interested in this game. And I think I agree with what you said earlier. I think this is a big game for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. I mean, listen, He's going to play for them next year. But I believe if he struggles this week, like he did against the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Raiders, I do think organizationally they will make decisions and they'll say, listen, it ain't working to the level we need it to. So they'll go to their scouting department and say, let's look for, in the round 2, 3, 4, the next guy.
They've had a tremendous season, and Stefanski's clearly the guy. They've put a lot of pieces together. Baker's done an amazing job at managing this offense, which, like, is what you want. You want to get wins at the end of the day, but if you want to win the big game, you're going to need a guy there that can make those big plays.
Yeah.
And eventually you're going to have to see that from Baker. Like, it's not a knock. It's just an assessment on what they are this year.
And they're really talented offensively.
Yeah.
And yet they have no passing game. So, like, it's time. Like, this is the time.
Yes, you have to step up at one point.
This is not a Darnold situation where we don't feel he has any help. This is, like, lots of help and a really stable new coach.
So, finally, Anthony Davis secured a 5-year, $190 million max contract extension to stay with the Lakers. And Jared Dudley is expecting AD to step up his game even more in his second year with the team.
I'm expecting AD to go for the MVP. I'm expecting him to set the tone. We know LeBron, his years played in this league and all the accolades he has, but AD doesn't have some of those accolades. He has the talent, he has the determination. So I'm expecting AD to set the tone early on, even though he might have, if there's games he has to miss on back-to-backs, that's okay. But he's 27, he should have been Defensive Player of the Year. He's the future and he's the now.
You know, it's funny. I felt like last year, it was like a do-over for Anthony Davis. Like, it was the first year, because nobody watched him in New Orleans.
Right.
It was like watching him, you're like, it was the first year I was like, oh, he lived up to his potential. Like, not that he wasn't a good player, but last year was like, this is what he is, which is a dominant playoff big. And he'd been great, but it was the first time I watched Anthony Davis, and I totally bought into, okay, that's what you can build around.
No, he leveled up, but Anthony Davis is still not a one. And I don't see that ever developing for him. Like, we were talking to Rick Bucher earlier, and he was talking about how, Kobe developed into being a good leader. You know, guys can develop into being good leaders. And it's not that Anthony Davis is not a good leader, but you're not going to take over that role ever when LeBron James is on your team.
No, no, no. It's just not going to be. It isn't. There are certain players. Magic, an old Magic, still was the Lakers. It doesn't matter. Certain Michael Jordan could be 44. He would be your leader. D Wade.
Yeah.
Was, even with LeBron, he was 1A. It was LeBron was the best player, but Wade was a rock-solid franchise driver as well.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen in this situation. Now, when LeBron moves on and Anthony Davis is still there or whatever, we'll see. But the MVP conversation, and look, it's not that Anthony Davis is going to put up numbers and he should have been Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
But you're going to get cannibalized by LeBron being on your team in the MVP conversation. So will he deserve an MVP or be, talked about in that space? Yes. Will he actually win it? We know how the MVP goes in the NBA. Whatever the narrative is at the beginning of the season, if that person is still healthy by the end, that's who's going to get the MVP. Like, that's just how it goes when it comes to the MVP in the NBA. But I'm with Rick, too. Anthony Davis has to stay healthy.
No, that's in. Listen, it's not even a criticism. It is a reality.
That's it. Like, that's going to be the key if they're going to return the championship and win it again.
I don't think it's irony that when he played with LeBron, he got healthy. I think LeBron demanded more of him. LeBron's an old guy. LeBron's like, bro, I'm playing and I'm not feeling great.
They also had some time off, so
that helped a lot. That's a great point.
No travel. There's a lot of factors in this.
It was in a bridge season. No, that was a good point. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Jason McIntyre, NFL picks next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Starting in 2021, U.S. only, Discovery Plus is coming, a new streaming service. Greatest collection of real-life entertainment from your favorite brands, plus exclusive originals you won't find anywhere else. Streaming what you love in one place, Discovery Plus. Well, Jason McIntyre, as a friend of mine for a long time, he used to be a newspaper guy, but he bailed on that industry smartly. And then he got into radio and TV and stuff. And he comes on every Friday on our show for his NFL picks. I love them. Let's bring on Jason McIntyre, Fox Sports Radio on the weekends, too. All right. Well, let's just get right to it. I think you and I, you got a lot of the games. I don't know what side you're on, but you picked four of the five games I like. So let's start. Tomorrow's headlines today. Browns at the Titans.
It's a great game, Colin. You know, two of the better teams in the AFC. The headline will be Browns miles from Super Bowl contention. Now, listen, I do like Cleveland a lot this year. We talked about this team in August. I had them as a playoff team. I bet on them when I drove to Vegas and a quick day trip to make the playoffs. But this is a tough spot for them. Colin, this is an 8-3 team with a negative 21 point differential. Okay. When they play good teams, they get creamed. The question is Tennessee good or have they just looked good in the last couple weeks? Last three games for Tennessee. Okay. Colts, Ravens, Colts. That is a tough stretch. So the Browns could win this one, but I do ultimately think Tennessee prevails. And the number to watch is 4. Okay. Baker Mayfield, your boy. I know you guys are fine. You got a good bromance going on. Okay. Baker Mayfield, 4 consecutive games without a turnover.
That's right.
Best stretch of his career. Does it end here against the Titans? We shall see.
Yeah. Being well coached. All right. Tomorrow's headlines today. I stayed away from this baby. Saints at the Falcons. Atlanta's Bermuda Triangle for me. So what do you got?
Bermuda Triangle. I like that. Okay. The headline will be you taste some. You lose some, but I have the Saints prevailing here, Colin. I think this is a win for the Saints. They right now have won 8 straight right now. They're more dangerous than eating indoors at Applebee's. That's how hot this team is, Colin. We're talking about the only team in the NFL, top 10 in the NFL in offense, defense, and special teams, according to Football Outsiders. And listen, I know the football Twitter people, right? They think they're smarter than Sean Payton. Oh, you should start Jameis. You know, this Taysom Hill is a joke. I just want to remind everybody, Sean Payton has lost Breeze last year and this year, and they are 7-0 against the spread with no losses without Drew Breeze as the starter. Sean Payton is a great coach. We need to give him his due. I like the Saints here. I had a bookmaker on my podcast, Colin, who said so much Falcons money drove this from 3.5 down to 2.5. I mean, there's a lot of people back in the Falcons here. Not me. I'm on the Saints.
Tomorrow's headlines today. Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler's hurt.
Probably the best game of the weekend, right? I mean, this is a phenomenal one. Maybe you'll finally invite me over. We'll watch it together, have a couple beers. The headline will be adding to the Kylite reel. I like Kyler Murray. I have that man crush on him. He struggled lately. You mentioned the shoulder injury, but look who he's going opposite against today, on Sunday. It's Jared Goff. And Jared Goff kind of reminds me of Ryan Gosling. Okay. You know, they look alike and neither of them has done anything good recently. I mean, Jared Goff, 9 turnovers in the last 4 games, Colin. His coach called him out. I do wonder what's that locker room's going to be like. Are they just going to say, we don't trust you, Jared. We're going to hand it off. And the key number for this one, Colin, is 31. In games where Kyler Murray is held under 31 rushing yards, 1-8-1. Arizona needs him to run. And I do believe Jalen Ramsey will lock up DeAndre Hopkins on the outside, and Kyler's going to have to win this. I have faith in him. It doesn't sound like you do.
I don't. Okay. Tomorrow's headlines today, Belichick and the Patriots at the LA Chargers.
You know, they're calling this the biggest coaching mismatch in NFL history.
Come on.
The headline will be just in time. Give me the Chargers, Colin. I'm the only man betting the LA Chargers this weekend. We got a Fox Research guy who helps me out. Any questions I have for gambling all week, he crunches the numbers. Bill Belichick, 24-5 against rookie quarterbacks. He hasn't lost to a rookie quarterback in 7 years. That's how good this guy is scheming up against the rookies. But I have faith in Herbert. I'm putting aside the Anthony Lynn factor because he's so bad. Okay. Listen, as everybody on planet Earth is saying, he's a nice guy, man. He's really swell. He's such a friendly character. He's a bad coach. There's a reason they are 3-16 in one score games in the last 2 years. Wow. I mean, Colin, every game that's close, they can't deliver. I don't want to revisit the Buffalo ending last week. You had Buffalo. Congrats. I had the Chargers. I was vomiting at my house uncontrollably watching that series of plays. Let's not revisit it. But I like the Chargers. They're the better team. You cannot tell me, Colin, that the Patriots have a better offense or defense than the Chargers. You can't. It's just not factually true.
All right. Tomorrow's headlines today, the ugly, at times gross, Eagles at the flashy, lovely, front-running Packers.
Yes. I know you're a market guy. You watch the stock market all the time. This is a stock market game. The headline will be, everyone loses once in a while. And Aaron Rodgers is going down this week. Okay. Stock market. You want to buy low, right? Sell high. I'm buying the Eagles low. We all watched them on Monday Night Football and said, you got to bench Carson Wentz. This Eagles team stinks. They're going nowhere. What about the Green Bay Packers? Sell them high. We watched them on Sunday Night Football. 25 million people. Oh, Packers, they're a Super Bowl team. The Bears stink. I am selling the Packers off that impressive win, and I'm buying the Philadelphia Eagles and Carson Wentz. And Colin, before you tell me, Jason, we need a recount. I don't think you're right here. We just saw how the recounts went in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin in this election, and I am sticking with the Philadelphia Eagles to deliver for me against Aaron Rodgers.
By the way, as a longtime Jet fan and advocate, Sam Darnold is probably going to be replaced by Trevor Lawrence. You believe that today, right?
Yeah, 100%. Colin, I have told my family I'm not shaving this beard until the Jets win a football game. And my daughter, who's in the next room, said, Dad, the Jets may go 0-16. Does this mean you're not shaving until September? Are you going to look like that homeless guy on the SEC network that they trot out every week? And I said, I'm just going to grow it. It's going to be James Harden length beard if the Jets don't win a game. Can they beat the Raiders on Sunday?
No,
that's the question.
No. They're not going to beat the Raiders. No, the Raiders just got humiliated. Good teams get humiliated. They always play really well the next week. That's why I like the Rams this week, by the way. When you look lousy and Goff got humiliated, your practice is more focused. You bring everything down. So watch the Rams play well and watch the Raiders play well this week. That's my theory.
Raiders, huh? Okay. Did you put them in the Blazing Five, the Raiders?
No, I didn't, but that's because I liked other games better. So.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, Mud. See ya.
All right, take it easy.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost always, the NFL, you're never as bad or as good as you looked the previous week. Like, for instance, I bet against the Titans this week because they just looked unbelievable against the Colts. They match up well against the Colts. So they don't match up as well against Cleveland. And the Rams do not match up. They haven't for 3 years now. They don't match up with the 49ers defensive front. And so what happens is Goff looks awful against them. So what happens? Every time the Rams play the Niners, they lose or it's ugly and everybody bails on the Rams. They come out the following week after Niner games and they always win. So you just that the basic rule in the NFL is nobody's as bad as the last Sunday or as good as the last Sunday. Like the Raiders, that John Gruden was pissed. That's humiliating. They are not. That I guarantee the Raiders had an unbelievable week of football practice.
I believe he said it was like pulling teeth watching that tape.
For Joy and John, we'll see you Monday. Be safe. It's the Herd.